This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Thursday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cota. United Airlines offering some passengers rapid COVID tests. And it's Technology Thursday. The Department of Justice going after big tech. They say it's all about your privacy. The report on sales of new homes and the weekly tally of jobless claims lead today's data. We're joined by Bob Bruska, chief economist at Fact and Opinion Economics, based in New York. Bob, let's begin with the jobless claims. Give us the lowdown on the numbers and what you make of them.
Well, job growth is slowing down a little bit. There's a lot of focus on whether there's going to be another stimulus package. The Federal Reserve speakers have been adamant that we need a little bit more fiscal stimulus. And the Republicans want to be careful about what they met out. They think that there might be enough stimulus out there. Democrats want, to fund everything on the face of this earth. So they're obviously not getting anywhere, but maybe talks will restart and maybe they'll be able to come to some agreement. There'll be another program, but it does look like job growth is slowing down.
And is that why you have a lot of corporate CEOs coming out and saying, hey, we need some kind of a stimulus. This is going to be really challenging if we don't get it.
Well, yeah, they want the environment to be better, and that's what government does. Government provides the environment. And then businesses have to figure out what to do with it. And if the environment is bad, you're going to have a difficult time making something good out of it. It's like a chef who's given lousy ingredients. Give him lousy ingredients, he'll make a lousy cake.
Is it important for there to be some sort of cash given out like there was the first time? Or is it just support for businesses to keep those employees on?
Well, I can't go wrong with cash. Everybody likes cash, even though it's a four-letter word. But I think it's really more important to do things to support businesses. Small businesses are just dropping like flies. I walk up and down my neighborhood here in New York City, and I see lots of closed stores. I see stores closed that I know are never going to open again. And that means employees who aren't going to have jobs, who aren't going to have incomes. So I think that if you can help the businesses, that will be a very good thing to do. On the other hand, if you just send money out willy-nilly, you wind up sending a lot of money to people who don't really need it. And so that becomes sort of a waste, a deadweight loss.
Let's talk about home sales, beating expectations. Is that a positive sign?
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic. In fact, you look at that with, these other things we talk about that are problems slowing job growth, people having lost their jobs, all these things, you wonder, well, goodness, are mortgage rates enough to trump everything else, all the bad news? Well, here's what I think is happening. I think that there are people who have their work interrupted this year, but what they're able to do right now is if they're back to work, they can buy a house and they can do it on the income that they posted last year. If they don't buy a house by the end of this year, then they're going to buy a house next year based on this year's income. This year's income is going to be interrupted. It's going to be lower, and they might not be able to qualify for the mortgage to get the house that they want. And so, ironically, I think that having had their employment situation interrupted this year has created a window for the end of this year that's going to keep housing demand really, really high. And we won't know if that's the case until we get in next year and see if things fall off sharply in January.
Thanks so much for all of the insight. Always appreciate you being with us. Bob Bruska, he is chief economist at Fact and Opinion Economics in New York. Chicago-based United Airlines is looking to provide rapid coronavirus tests to passengers. Let's get the details from Joe Schwederman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul here in Chicago. Joe, what is United talking about doing?
Yeah, this is a big story today. United has a new plan for passengers going to Hawaii on October 15th or later. You can actually do a COVID test at the airport, and it's going to be administered by Abbott Labs, a Chicago-based company here, only for passengers heading out of San Francisco to Hawaii. But the good news is you won't have to quarantine when you get to Hawaii if you've you've had that test and you can do it last moment.
Do you see a time when this becomes mandatory, or do you expect it to continue to just be something that's an option for people?
Well, there's a great deal of excitement around this because it shows there are some new ways we can do testing and get people back in the skies without, you know, the quarantine burden, which is just tremendous. The test only takes 15 minutes, so it's a real quick thing. No signs it's going to be made mandatory, but there is a sense that this is a trial. If it works, we could see it, particularly more long-haul flights, you know, even some transcontinental flights or Chicago West Coast, Europe. So there's a lot of optimism this could, break down a barrier.
And as you mentioned, Hawaii, people on the other end are having to quarantine for 2 weeks. This might actually allow more travelers to come and spend time in Hawaii, travelers who couldn't afford to stay there for 2 weeks in quarantine.
That's exactly right. And I think people see there's a major hassle factor of getting the test. You know, you can do a test offsite before you leave if it's 72 hours before you arrive, within 72 hours before you arrive, so you can go to the doctor a couple days ahead. You know, but that takes a lot of forethought, and you have to, you know, kind of do everything right, send the samples to the right place. Here, it's pretty foolproof, so it's going to definitely raise some optimism.
Now, given the quarantine mandate in Hawaii, there's actually quite a few deals for Hawaii because there's just not a lot of travelers that are able to get there. So if you get one of these tests, now's a pretty decent time to go to Hawaii.
Yeah, Hawaii is really a distressed market from a revenue standpoint right now. So the deals are really, really excellent there. And they've had a pretty strict protocol. On October 15th, they're in a way loosening up a bit, you know, with this new test requirement. So I think you'll see a lot of bookings in the next few weeks.
What about cruise lines? Do you see it expanding so that cruise lines can actually get moving again?
You know, cruise lines are really ground zero for this, and they've affected even more than the airlines. And I think when you have cruises that last a couple days, clearly the burden of doing a test before you get on the cruise ship is fairly minimal. So it's evident that these tests aren't that expensive because it's not something that's going to be premium priced at the airport. It pretty much comes with your flight. So cruise companies no doubt will be trying this, maybe watching United real closely.
Thanks so much. Always good information from Joe Schwederman. He is professor of public services and director of the Chaddock Institute at DePaul University. Up next, learning some of the keys to financial literacy.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The language of money, saving, and wealth is not always easily understood. Let's get some help here with financial literacy. Mark Hulbert is joining us, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com, based in Washington, D.C. Mark, what would you say right off the bat are maybe the biggest one or two reasons, things that we need to know about financial literacy?
Well, it turns out that I suppose the biggest one thing to learn is that most of us think we know more than we really do. There are these tests of financial literacy where they once the first pass through, they ask us what we know about certain basic questions and record our answers, and then they go back and ask us how we think we did. And almost always we grade ourselves as having far more literacy than we really do. And I guess the second most important thing to mention, back to answering your question here, is that it turns out that overconfidence about our abilities leads to risky behaviors. It leads to things that we end up regretting. So these things have real-world consequences.
Is that where you end up getting into debt, too, because you sort of think that you have it handled and you can't tell that you don't?
Absolutely. And indeed, research that I referred to in a recent column, it points out that actually the interest rate that people pay is directly correlated with our level of financial literacy. So we think that we may be bearing a reasonable or tolerable level of interest, but when you actually look at it and look at the fine print that perhaps our financial illiteracy leads us to not being aware of, we find that we're actually paying a lot more. Another consequence of our financial illiteracy is that we incur a huge amount of risk relative to what we should be doing in the stock market. We tend to take far more risky bets. And, of course, almost always over time, those things don't work out for us.
And interest rates, the difference is, I mean, interest rates on a mortgage versus an auto loan versus a credit card versus a student loan. I mean, interest is different in each of those cases.
Well, that's right. And indeed, I think that in many cases, some of these higher priced, higher interest rate products. They go out of their way, in fact, not to let you know what the interest rate in a comparable sense is relative to some of these other things. If you look at a mortgage right now, you can get a 30-year mortgage for about 3.5%, say 4%, depending on what part of the country you're in. And yet some of these incredibly high interest rate loans, payday loans and that sort of thing, are in the hundreds of percent.
What about budgeting? It just seems, I mean, I like to call it creating a spending plan, because it sounds so much better than budgeting. It seems like a bad word.
Well, that's right. And indeed, that's the other thing, is that we don't even, it's like playing a chess game without looking more than, not even one move ahead. You don't even see what your opponent's doing. Without any sort of plan for whether it's our investment, our retirement, our budgeting, and so forth, how in the world are we going to be able to be prepared for when that eventuality comes?
Thanks so much, Mark Holbert. Always good insight. He's an investment columnist for The Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com. Still ahead, it's Technology Thursday. The White House works to cut liability protections for tech platforms.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Cisco Cotto. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Mourners honoring Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg react to President Trump's appearance at her public viewing. A man is charged with shooting two Louisville police officers during unrest following the announcement of no charges in the shooting of Breonna Taylor. It's Technology Thursday. The federal government wants to curb liability protections for tech platforms. On a day with unexpected new jobless claims, will update the current employment picture. WBBM Business, the Dow up 311 points. The NASDAQ up 145, and the S&P is up 38 points. Oil is up 0.5% today. Sunshine throughout Chicagoland. High today of 80 degrees. Right now it's 74 degrees. President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump paid their respects to the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg outside the Supreme Court this morning. That's the sound of boos as the crowd of mourners responded. There was also a chant of "Vote him out." The first couple, wearing masks, stood silently at the top of the steps of the court and looked down at Ginsburg's flag-draped coffin, which was surrounded by white flowers. The president has called her an amazing woman. A man's been charged with shooting and wounding two police officers in Louisville during protests following the decision not to charge officers in the shooting death of Breonna Taylor. Interim Police Chief Robert Schroeder says other members of the department have been attacked or hurt.
We have reports of a police sergeant being injured after being struck by a protester's baton, a sergeant who suffered a knee injury while arresting a resisting individual, and an officer who was exposed to blood and spit after a subject spit upon him during the protest.
The city remains under a 9 p.m. to 6:30 a.m. curfew. A reminder, if you're working remotely or anytime you're at home, you can just ask your smart speaker to play WBBM Radio, WBBM News Radio, for all the latest developments.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Markets gaining ground today. We're joined by Michael Stritch, Chief Investment Officer and National Head of Investments at BMO Wealth Management here in Chicago. It's good to have you back on the show. What do you make of what you're seeing on Wall Street today?
Hey, Cisco. Great to be back as well. Yeah, pretty broad-based reversal today after what looked to be another down day earlier this morning. I think maybe two things at play. One, a little bit of the air had come out of the market over the past week or so, so just a natural reversal to that trend. And we are getting some hits on the news wire about the potential for the restarting of another round of talks related to fiscal stimulus from the likes of Nancy Pelosi and Secretary Mnuchin. So we'll see if that carries through to the end of the day. So those are the two things I think that are most topical today, just a normal reversal from the bad action we've had and some hints of better news on the government front.
How important is it that Washington gets something done in regard to stimulus?
You know, I would think for the market's perspective, it's pretty important in that it does take away another level of uncertainty. The big question out there today is, are we on a self-sustaining path to recovery, or do we really need that additional bridge to get us over the hump to the vaccine and better interaction in the public And I think we do have the foundation for a self-sustaining recovery, but it'll be wavy and choppy. So another round of stimulus would be a good shot in the arm for the economy and for the market. So I do think it's important because it'll take away one additional level of uncertainty.
And when you're talking about small businesses, too, it seems like many of them are just barely hanging on. Some sort of support might keep them going long enough to get through most of this.
Well, agreed. I mean, this is the year of the haves and the have-nots. I think we've talked about it before. Really, there's much of the gains have accrued to those bigger institutions that have access to capital, have cash on hand, larger companies. That's why the S&P 500, for instance, has dramatically outperformed many of the markets around the world, both because of its technology weighting, but also the ability of those bigger firms to capitalize on these at-home shopping trends and the like, really leaving the smaller firms a little more exposed. So indeed, that is the area of focus. In fact, I think Secretary Mnuchin and Fed Chairman Powell today were talking to the Senate about just that fact, and maybe even converting some of the excess funds from the original stimulus into additional ways to get monies in the hands of small business owners.
Let's talk about tech. The NASDAQ doing pretty well today. It's up about 1.5%, but tech has been rocky recently. Is that expected? I mean, did we need some sort of a pullback on tech stocks?
I got a little frothy. I think you're right on that one. You know, our view has been that quality and quality growth technology specifically has been a good place to be. It's certainly borne itself out in the numbers. We did get to maybe extreme, a little bit of extreme recently, so a natural correction here is probably warranted. That said, we're not giving up on the space just yet because, again, in an environment where there is a lot of economic volatility, people want to pay for companies that deliver some consistency of earnings and earnings expectations, and there's no better place to find that than in the technology arena.
We're almost to October here, so thinking toward the end of the year, is it good for people to start thinking about rebalancing that portfolio?
You know, I think so. Hopefully people have had a chance to do that a few occasions this year because we've had so much choppiness that there's been a good number of opportunities along the way to do so. We do expect like this little correction that we've had here, no reason to panic, but we do expect that choppiness is likely to persist through the year end, in fact. And so I would say now is a good time to revisit allocations and just how you're positioned going into those final few months of the year.
Should people be concerned maybe moving to a defensive portfolio given all the volatility? Does it just depend on your stomach and whether you're willing to take the risk?
Yeah, and I wouldn't bail on the market just yet. You know, our view has been one of a balanced approach. So we are, I would say, leaning defensive and have been for a bit. And what I mean by that is we are taking bets in certain areas of the market, and that's in the U.S. market. It's primarily in larger cap companies, more growth-oriented, quality names. And at the same time, we've got some cash that we want to have on hand to manage some of the choppiness and potentially, you know, and deploy that at a future date here if the opportunity arises. So I would say on par, we're pretty balanced at the moment, but leaning defensive. So something to consider for other folks as well.
Thanks so much for all of the information. Michael Stritch, he's Chief Investment Officer and National Head of Investments at BMO Wealth Management here in Chicago. Just ahead, Technology Thursday, an effort is underway to limit liability protections for tech platforms. It's all about your privacy.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Technology Thursday on the Noon Business Hour. The Department of Justice is proposing legislation to curb liability protections for tech platforms. Let's find out what that's all about. Andrew Stoltman is here, a securities attorney at Stoltman Law Offices here in Chicago. That's our first question to you, Andrew. What exactly is this all about?
Well, I think President Trump and his administration is kind of trying to get even with some of the tech companies. So really what the Department of Justice has done is they've proposed new legislation that would strip technology companies like Facebook and companies like that of kind of long-held legal protections. You know, these companies have very little legal liability for what people post on their platform. President Trump and the DOJ want to change that to open up the litigation floodgate, so to speak.
And is that mostly about privacy with users' data, or does it go beyond that?
No, it really kind of goes beyond that. What the legislation would do is it would narrow the circumstances under which technology companies like Facebook can claim legal immunity. for what people post on the website. Right now, you can post virtually anything you want, and the tech company itself can't be held liable because of Section 230 under a piece of legislation that's been around for about 25 years or so. Trump and his administration want to change that.
So it almost would move it more toward broadcast media, radio and TV, and that, you know, we can't just say whatever we want on the air without any sort of consequences.
Yeah, Cisco, that's exactly it. And what's kind of interesting is even Joe Biden has said that Section 230 of this legislation should be revoked. And he's argued that tech companies should be held to the same standard as media companies like newspapers and radios. I mean, you guys can be held for publishing liable for false information being published. And that's what Trump and to a lesser extent Joe Biden want to see with respect to the tech companies.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, because there's some people who feel like social media, it is just a platform. So we should be able to say whatever we want on there. And what would they do? I mean, how would they begin to decide what they can and cannot allow on their platform?
Well, that's right, Cisco. I mean, it's a real slippery slope if you think about it. I mean, what somebody considers to be false, somebody else considers to be true. And we've seen a whole bunch of people out there with crazy ideas, conspiracies with respect to what has happened and when. And to think about imparting on the shoulders of tech companies that burden, that obligation to police that, that's a really, really high burden and a difficult burden for them to satisfy.
But they'd have to figure it out because, I mean, we're talking millions upon millions of dollars in lawsuits.
That's right. And President Trump and his administration would say, look, you guys have your algorithms that determine what people should and shouldn't see. You need to change that to kind of police what is being published out there. Now, many people think Trump is just trying to do this to intimidate the tech companies prior to the November elections. And that's open to interpretation.
And so for consumers, is there anything good in here? I mean, does it in any way help people?
I don't think so. I think this is a very high-level battle between President Trump and some tech companies who historically have supported Hillary Clinton and the Democrats, and I think it's his way of telling them, look, I'm trying to intimidate the referee coming up to November.
Thanks so much. Always good insight from Andrew Stoltman, securities attorney at Stoltman Law Offices here in Chicago. At this time tomorrow, it's Entrepreneur Friday, still to come. Job prospects entering fall and heading into the holiday season.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The latest jobs data shows a record number of workers are currently on the sidelines. Joining us with a look at employment prospects is Rick Cobb, Executive Vice President, Challenger, Gray, and Christmas here in Chicago. Let's focus on the holidays here for a moment, Rick. Are we going to see a lot of even temporary jobs here at the holidays?
Boy, I'm going to take what's really a guess at this point and say that, you know, we have had steady job creation around the holiday. The type of job creation that is going to occur in the holiday is going to be far less in person. It's going to be focused more on customer service, order fulfillment. Perhaps the customer facing is going to be more the delivery side of the business than anything else. So there's going to be a hire, but it's not going to be customer facing like it's been in the past.
And not necessarily, I guess this is how holidays usually go, not necessarily the type of job that's going to last beyond the holidays.
Well, it's hard to say. I think that one of the things that we have is we're in completely uncharted territory here. So some of the work that will need to be done for the holiday is around the logistics of getting products to the customer. And it's technology based often, or it's delivery based. So it's transportation, logistics, and then customer service, which is, you know, dealing with problems with the product. There's another category that's going to come into play, which is going to be the subject matter expert, sort of like when you go to the Apple store, the person who really understands the product and features it for you, as opposed to someone who's trying to put it in a box for you. Those jobs can stay because they are skill sets that can be applied in other areas.
Let's talk about the unemployed right now. Some of these jobs, as we mentioned, you know, temporary, maybe not exactly what people are looking for the long term. Should they go ahead and take it, even though they currently have unemployment benefits?
Again, we're in uncharted territory, but you have to look at the numbers. We, you know, as of this moment, we are now almost at 2 million in announced cuts, which is 230% higher than cuts last year at this time. So we've eclipsed the high of 2001. The problem with this particular market, as opposed to other down markets, is the recovery is unknown. You know, if we cannot get out of the COVID and threat of lockdown, it's impossible to know what's going to happen. So a lot of the people that are out there, that I'd like to say it's not true, but I think that the numbers may even actually be underreported, because many people have just sort of checked out. If they have the ability, they're just not even bothering to look, so they're not reporting as unemployed.
Yeah, that's where just sort of the mindset, people feeling like they're not going to find a job no matter what, it does drag them down and takes them out of the market.
Sure. If there's any bright spot for people, though, if you're not, you know, clearly the hospitality business, the retail business, transportation, the public transportation, those are really stressed out environments. But, you know, historically, and again, the qualification again, historically, the fourth quarter, while it's not necessarily the time that people hire, it is the time that companies sort of put their year to bed. They're on a calendar fiscal year. They start thinking about what they're going to do in the beginning of the new year. And there are changes. There are opportunities that are created by changes in organizations. So even when companies are cutting back, they do still staff, even in this condition.
Thanks so much, Rick Cobb. He is Executive Vice President at Challenger Gray and Christmas. Past programs, later today, a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.